Welcome back to the Veterinary Viewfinder. This week, dermatological drama. We've got a board-certified dermatologist who's going to dispel all your misperceptions about chronic dermatitis. You do not want to miss this one. Next level. Welcome back to the Veterinary Viewfinder, the podcast that tackles the toughest topics in veterinary medicine. And this week, what could be tougher than chronic dermatitis? I mean, you guys know the drill. Every day, we are assaulted by dogs and cats who just can't quit scratching. And their owners are frustrated. They're spending money. They're going on the internet and getting conflicting advice. Guys, this is one of the biggest dilemmas that we face. And this week, we have got a very special guest I'll introduce in just a moment. But first, as always, I am your host, Dr. Ernie Ward.
I'm Dr. Cindy Courtney.
And I'm registered veterinary technician, Becky Mosser.
We are so excited today to introduce you to our board-certified veterinary dermatologist guest, Dr. Dana Liska. Dr. Liska received her Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from Kansas State University way back in 1999. She then did a bunch of internships at MedVet, Mission MedVet in Mission, Kansas. She then practiced just general vet medicine for 4 years in Helena, Montana. And then she started her derm residency at the University of Florida College of Veterinary Medicine, where she received diplomate status. She actually taught for 3 years, and then she went into private practice for over 9 years. So welcome to the Veterinary Viewfinder, Dr. Dana Liska.
Thank you for having me.
So Dana, tell me about this whole chronic dermatitis stuff. Like, what led you to want to deal with skin?
Oh my goodness gracious. You know, I think so many times we end up where we do because of the mentors in our life. And I got to spend a fabulous summer in Houston, Texas, working with two amazing board certified dermatologists who just really set that love of dermatology in my heart.
Uh-oh, I think I might know who you worked with, but maybe you could share with the audience.
Dr. Karen Beal.
Yes.
And at that time, Dr. Dan Morris was her associate, and they had a resident, Dr. Pat Nichols. So it was a great summer working with all of them.
Wow. Yes. And of course, Karen and that team down there do amazing work, and there's no better place to study chronic dermatitis than Houston in the summer.
Absolutely.
Are you guys implying that there are people who don't absolutely adore dermatology every single day like I do?
Well, yes, Cindy, it's true. I mean, we do, I guess, have this love-hate relationship with chronic dermatitis, right? I mean, you know, it's one of those things that we can do a lot. In fact, we can do a lot more today than we could even 5 years ago. But the reality is it's still frustrating for the pet parents that we serve.
Yeah,
so let's just kick that off, Dr. Liska. I mean, what do you think that... Where do dog owners go wrong? Where do they miss the whole mark when it comes to the issue around chronic dermatitis? And, you know, how can we sort of dispel that misperception?
You know, I think that when they see their itchy pet, they don't necessarily equate that their dog could have an allergy. And I think oftentimes they don't necessarily realize that that's a medical issue that's causing their dog to itch.
Yeah, what do you think they think it is? I mean, I have my, you know, opinion, but like, what do you think? You're a boarded dermatologist. What do you think they think is causing that dog to scratch all night?
I think a lot of times they just think that's kind of the way it is. And I recently talked with a gentleman who is absolutely in love with his little miniature pincher. And he just thought that's the way it was. He just thought he had to reach down and kind of block her from scratching at her face, or, you know, kind of get after her for, you know, to stop licking at her paws. And went to his veterinarian. He started realizing that there's probably an allergy there.
I mean, I know that I have seen owners go to extreme lengths to do exactly what you've just described, like putting socks on their dog, putting on e-collars, getting bandages. Like, they think that if they can just stop the dog from getting there, that they've solved the problem. Have Dr. Ward, Becky, have you guys seen the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, while you guys were talking, I was sitting here thinking about how do we depict a cartoon dog every time we see one, right? Like, what is the normal thing for your classic, just complete cliche cartoon dog? Walks along, sits down, scratches, right? Like, so we've made it almost like a societal norm to see dogs scratching. That's what dogs do, right? So I could see why our owners kind of get a misconception about this.
Yeah. And you know, Cindy, you bring up a really, really good point there. And that is they go to great lengths to do everything to avoid going to the veterinarian who actually may solve it. So, and again, that's a whole nother issue that maybe we'll dive into with Dr. Liska at some point. But Dr. Liska, let's go back to that. So now they don't understand it's an allergy. Many of them blame it as either normal or maybe it's a mosquito bite or fleas or something like that, right? They're missing the allergic component, which is, as you stated, a disease state. So how do we communicate that? Like, how do we politely and diplomatically and effectively say, you know, no, this is a medical condition?
You know, I just think helping them understand, and when they call the practice and they say, I have an itchy dog, you know, that being the first thing that we say to them, oh my goodness, we want to see your dog. We want to figure out what is causing your dog to itch. Like, how soon can we get you in? When's a convenient time for you to come visit the practice and see the doc?
Becky, let me just ask you from a veterinary technician standpoint. I mean, you know, this conversation is probably going to take place at the receptionist desk or the technician answering the phone. So what kind of advice do you offer for listeners? You know, so that phone call comes in, they say, hey, you know, Buster's at it again, scratching his stomach or his back or whatever. What's that next step that you should think we should take?
Well, I mean, I absolutely agree with Dr. Liska. Like, the first thing is, can we get him in and let's take a look and see, and then start to kind of explain some of the things that it could be, right? Because as a technician, what I feel like I hear the most is, by the time they come and see me, when they're coming in the clinic, they're coming in because the dog is keeping them up all night. That's when I feel right. Like we see them, because they're now super inconvenienced and tired, and they don't even necessarily understand it's a medical condition at that point. They just want the dog to not itch all night. Can you give him a sedative so he can sleep all night? Like, hey, let's address the itching instead. So again, and then the next thing is, they'll say to me, he's itching all night. I don't know what's wrong. He doesn't have fleas. So again, I think they just make this correlation. So the first thing we need to let them know is that, we know it can be things other than fleas. We know it can be things other than keeping you up all night, that this is a medical condition, so we've got to get them in. But again, with clients, the thing we tend to do, I find, is we go off into a tangent about the medical conditions, where we really have to get to the empathy. Oh, I'm really worried about Fluffy, and I'm worried about you being up all night. Let's get you in so we get you both feeling better.
Right. Okay. And I love that, that the empathetic connection is critical to your success, especially with dermatological conditions. So Dr. Liska, what do we do when we get them in? I mean, what does your basic diagnostic workup look like?
Well, keep this in mind too, that kind of ties into what you are talking about, is that by the time they're calling the practice and they're searching for help, your medical help, we have some market research that tells us 88% of those clients have already been trying over-the-counter therapies.
Right.
So they're already on the internet looking for things. They're already standing in the pet store looking for a shampoo that's going to make things better, antihistamines that are going to make things better. So when they get to your practice, the first thing is really, like you said, empathy. I want to make your dog feel better because I want you to be sleeping better. And so let's work together to first stop the itch. And then let's look at the pathway that we might have to go down to diagnose the itch.
And, you know, Dr. Liska, that is such a salient fact there. The 88% of pet owners, by the time they come in to say, my dog's itching, they've already tried something. And this goes back to what I used to say 20 plus years ago. There's only two reasons that people bring their pets to the veterinarian. One is they couldn't fix it themselves. So, I mean, we've already tried that. The second, of course, has to do with pain. So okay, we got them in, we're being empathetic, but let's get back to the medical aspect of it. What does that work up? You know, what's the next step?
So for me, we're going to stop the itch. And then the components of the workup that we need to be thinking about are ruling out parasites, treating any secondary infections that may be on the pet, considering a food trial if the dog has symptoms non-seasonally that are just happening year-round, and if we can address those things and rule those things out or control those components, then what typically happens is most dogs ultimately have atopic dermatitis, which is more of what we consider to be the environmental allergy.
Becky, did you notice what she led with? She said, stop the itch first. Now, that's kind of an interesting solution, right? Because I think what Dr. Liska is saying is, you know, we need to be empathetic and say, whatever we do today, we're going to stop your dog from keeping you up at night. Is that what I'm hearing, Becky?
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely right. And we've talked about the differences in American versus like European medicine, and that we like to diagnose and then treat, always get to the cause and then be treating. And that's great. But, you know, in this case, we have got to stop that itching. It's crucial to owner compliance. It's crucial to quality of life. It's crucial to the bond, and it's crucial to the animal. It's crucial to the relationship that we have with our clients, because if that itching doesn't stop and stop fast, they think we're just stealing their money, throwing voodoo at them, and they're just going to go get that oatmeal shampoo.
You bet.
Yeah. And I think, Becky, you really highlighted that there's kind of this disconnect between what the owner thinks is the problem and what we think is the problem. So yeah, we're really focused on that underlying diagnosis, which is still important, but the owner's not going to be able to open up and listen to us unless we address what they think is the problem, which is that the dog's keeping them up at night, that the dog is itching, that, or Dr. Ward, as you said, is that their dog is uncomfortable.
Right. And you know, Dr. Liska, I'm actually quite happy that you led with that, because, you know, I think sometimes from a general practitioner standpoint, we think when we send them off to the specialist, you guys are going to run like a gazillion tests. But you're saying, man, maybe these tests aren't as in-depth as you might have thought, right?
I think it just kind of depends on the patient and on kind of a step-by-step, you know, appointment-by-appointment basis. Because once we rule out the parasites like scabies and Demodex, then we typically don't have to go back to that. But definitely the diagnostics like cytology, that's really important. And I think I do lots of cytologies for most patients at most visits.
Dr. Liska, what's like the one test that you're speaking now to veterinary technicians and general practitioners for the most part? What's the one test that you think we're not doing enough of when it comes to chronic dermatitis in our patients?
Absolutely. Hands down, skin cytology, ear cytologies, for diagnosing the secondary infections.
Nice. So now let's kind of shift it to, okay, we've got a diagnosis, and let's say, I don't know, let's just say this is an atopic case. I mean, is that fair, Dr. Liska, with this? I mean, let's just take a atopic case. What's the biggest challenge that most practitioners face next? Okay, so we've got a chronic dermatitis condition. What's the biggest barrier to success?
I think that finding what works for each patient, finding that cornerstone, that anchor that can kind of keep the patient comfortable, you know, while investigating, while doing allergy testing and starting allergen-specific immunotherapy. But I think it's just finding that cornerstone that's going to keep the pet comfortable.
Okay. And I know that one of the things that I've seen you speak, and you talk a lot about, you use this term like streamlining the approach, streamlining diagnostics, right? Explain what you mean by that to our listeners that maybe haven't seen you.
I think that just making sure that the owner knows the pathway that you're going down so that they can really embrace the therapies and the diagnostic tests that you want to do along the way.
Loving dermatology and being excited about it and loving client communication, one thing I find is, you know, so many of our owners come in and they have that itchy pet and they want the problem to be solved, and they're not thinking much beyond that. They're thinking, okay, well, I'll walk out the door, my pet is done itching, and then I'm done with this problem. And they definitely, you know, start getting more frustrated if they don't know what to expect and if the itch comes back. So any particular hints or keys that you find in communicating that pathway that have worked really well for you or colleagues?
You know, what's so interesting is I felt like I was such a great communicator when I was in private practice. And just recently, Zoetis developed a piece that is meant to show the diagnostic pathway, the stop the itch, the rule out the parasites, the infection, the food, the atopic dermatitis. And I think if I would have had that piece when I was in practice, I think it would have helped my clients just, I guess, just kind of better understand visually where I was going with the workup.
Yeah, kind of having different ways to explain it, not just verbally, but visually. And especially, I've seen the pathway as well, but, you know, five steps, it feels manageable. It doesn't feel like a bazillion different things. It's like, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And then, you know, we're going to get where we need to go.
Well, and I think that's important too, because again, our clients get feeling really helpless. They know their pet's suffering, and the more we're talking about the empathy side of things and we tell them we want their pet to feel better, they become concerned about how their pet feels. So having that treatment plan and understanding that this itch might actually, we may or may not find the actual cause, we may or not actually be able to completely resolve it. I think it's really important to have that open, honest dialogue so that your client knows what to expect going forward to continue that compliance and to have long-term success.
Well, Dr. Liska, I think, you know, one of the reasons that you probably joined Zoetis and left like academia was because of advances like a drug that I am absolutely in love with, and that is Apoquel. Maybe explain to the people out there that have been living under a rock for the past several years, what is Apoquel and why has it completely transformed our approach to chronic dermatitis in dogs?
Oh, I know. It is so exciting to be practicing veterinary medicine in this time where we have better, safer, I mean, I consider them to be revolutionary therapies for pruritus for our patients. Basically, to say, Apoquel is a medication that is a daily oral therapy that provides fast and safe relief and ultimately can be used, you know, short term, but can also be used long term to maintain control of these patients who have atopic dermatitis.
And, you know, what I really like about Apoquel is the fact that you can begin treatment while you're still pursuing the diagnostic pathway, as you've described, right? So explain to listeners sort of how does that work?
Absolutely. So what we love about Apoquel is on its label, it is indicated for use in dogs who have allergic dermatitis and specifically for dogs who have atopic dermatitis. So because we have that on label, you can use it while you're doing this diagnostic workup, while you're going down the pathway. You can use it for a dog who's having a flea flare. You can use it with a dog who's got some secondary infection that's secondary to their atopic dermatitis. You can use it while you're doing the food trial for a patient, because let's face it, you can't just send an owner home with 8 weeks worth of a new food for their dog and not provide that dog some relief. So these are all great places where you can use Apoquel.
Absolutely. And I still remember one of my first years out in practice, this Jack Russell Terrier who came in to see us who had almost no hair. This owner had just adopted the dog from his mother who was retired and had really struggled to take care of the dog to afford therapy. And, you know, he was in a place where he had trouble affording therapy and affording referral. And they were limited in terms of their options. And at the time we didn't have Apoquel yet. And so for him, he was like, well, this is all I can do. All I can do is try and make my pet more comfortable. And I just hated that the only option we had was corticosteroids for him in terms of what he could afford and what they could reasonably do for their pet. And I love now that we have such safer options for long-term control of these symptoms.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, Dr. Liska, one of the, I don't know, the criticisms, I guess I would say, with a lot of these newer treatments is it kind of goes like this. It's like, okay, if we can control the itch, then what's the incentive to like discover the cause? I mean, how do you address that concern by veterinary colleagues, right? So they're saying, you know what, if you just give them this drug and it masks everything, we're never going to diagnose food allergy or atopy or flea allergy. So how do we explain that?
Oh, completely. I hear this all the time. And the way I look at it is like, say you have a dog that has a food allergy and yes, you know, Apoquel is helping to keep that dog more comfortable, but unless we go for that underlying cause, unless we do the food trial, that dog is going to constantly need that therapy. And if we can do a food trial and we can make that dog 50% better, if we can make that dog 80% or 100% better, then that improves the dog's quality of life. It helps with the finances of needing the medication. And ultimately, the dog will need less therapy.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're listening today and you struggle with this as well, I would say to you, it goes like this. If you just try to treat symptoms without ever determining the exact cause, you're going to put your clients through an emotional roller coaster, right? Because you're going to like, they're going to be fine for 6 weeks and then they're going to stop whatever treatment you're doing. And then it's going to flare back up and they're going to get frustrated, come back in, you know, so it's, I will tell you this as a practitioner for nearly 30 years, the easiest way to lose a client is to fail with chronic dermatitis. I mean, Cindy, can you feel me on that one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Actually, I'm hoping Dr. Liska will help me make my favorite term a common thing in the dermatology circles. I have this term called derm burnout that clients experience. And, you know, we don't want clients to experience that where they just get so frustrated that they give up on treating their pet altogether. And as much as I love treating dermatological issues. I'm not a dermatologist, and I am looking for your insight, Dr. Liska, on, again, atopy and its progression over time. My impression is that, you know, this is a disease that can progress over time, can get worse over time. Patients can get new sensitizations. There are patients that even with immunotherapy, even with chronic Apoquel, again, kind of need multimodal therapy in the same way that we think of, you know, patients with arthritis. They have a progressive disease. They need multimodal therapy to keep them the most comfortable over time. Is that kind of how we're starting to think about atopy as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think most of them get worse with time. And yeah. That's why identifying it early. And that's why when you go through the diagnostic workup and you've ruled out the other causes of pruritus and you have this patient that you know has atopic dermatitis, I think it's so important to right then and there look at the owner and say, your dog has atopic dermatitis, because that way then you've defined the condition and then you can start working on those things, the cornerstone therapy, the immunotherapy that you mentioned. Maybe it will include bath therapy, but you can start working on those therapies that are going to keep that dog most comfortable.
I think it's such an amazing conversation to have. And I'm really excited that we're kind of breathing life into that dermatology conversation, because I feel like Dr. Cindy said there is like a dermatological burnout. And I know I no longer have him, but I had a dog who had chronic inflammation, chronic atopic dermatitis. He was just sort of an autoimmune disaster dog. And, you know, I wonder about the long-term effects of that constant inflammatory process that his body was going through that we did always struggle with. And I do know how frustrating it can be from the medical side and from the parent side. So I love that we're having this conversation for everyone out there to just kind of be like, okay, dermatology can be frustrating, but yes, I can do these things. And yes, I have these tools. And I think that's really super exciting. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do that, because I think that that is a concern out there in the community. I think people do get tired and frustrated and hit dead ends.
You know, Becky, I totally appreciate what you're saying about the frustration. I have an extremely and highly atopic Chihuahua, and it is frustrating. And I think that derm burnout for veterinarians comes because the owners are on that roller coaster of emotion, and it gets mirrored back at them. And right. So then they're having to kind of receive that frustration and that roller coaster back. And I think that leads to a lot of the burnout.
Absolutely. And I love that we have the voice and the time to tell people out there to, you know, kind of build that empathy in that conversation. But if we did have to narrow it down, because I love to narrow down things to the top ones, twos, and threes, what would you say is the number one cause of itchy dogs? Like, if you had to point out one thing out there in the world, what do you find the number one cause?
Hands down, atopic dermatitis.
Yes. So all our clients who are going and changing foods at the pet store because they're convinced their pet has a food allergy.
It's grain. My dog is allergic to grain.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so they should be getting into our hospitals.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dr. Liska, I'd like to just dig into that just a little bit while we've got you on the line. And that is this nutrition aspect. I mean, look, I'm forward facing when it comes to nutrition and as a foundation for good health. But really, the misperception out there is that it's in the food, right? What can you tell our listeners, veterinary colleagues, how can we help dispel that misperception that it's just food?
Yeah, so if you look at the statistics, it would suggest that around 20% of dogs who have pruritus have a food allergy. So it is important to keep in mind for those dogs who are having a day in, day out, relentless dermatitis, pruritus. Because, right, if you're eating something every day that you're allergic to, every day is going to be difficult to face.
Right. And that dog is suffering. So it's important for us to offer, you know, treatments like, you know, I think Apoquel and others that really can help, you know, the dog be more comfortable, because, man, it sucks. I mean, can you imagine what they're going through, Dr. Liska? I mean, maybe describe what do you think it feels like to experience this type of chronic atopy or dermatitis?
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could have visuals for you guys, because I do have this picture of a person who has atopic dermatitis. And I always just really ask my audiences to empathize with what it feels like to live in that skin. You know, just step outside being a doctor and really empathize what it must feel like.
Yeah, I remember developing some some environmental allergies when I was in college. And again, I know obviously there are some significant differences between humans and pets, but I remember just feeling like my face was on fire. And you know, again, it's easy to forget that our pets are experiencing those kinds of feelings too, when we're just like, oh, well, we can just block them. We can just stop them from itching that part. But the itch is still there. Like, we can't just be, even if we are successfully able to stop them from getting to that place, they need to feel better.
Yeah. And many of our listeners know my wife, Laura, has suffered with severe allergies her entire life. And when she has a flare, Dr. Liska, she is miserable. I mean, it knocks her out of a lot of things. So again, I know there's differences between human and veterinary dermatitis, but wow, it's just not, it's something we should be very active in preventing, what I would consider the suffering of our patients.
And how can we help clients empathize with that as well? I know one of the things you talk about is preventing fire engine medicine. So preventing owners from kind of just responding when they're frustrated by those symptoms at home. How do we help them kind of stay ahead of some of these symptoms?
I think, again, recognizing that they are, you know, trying things over the counter and they haven't worked, and that's why they're in your practice. And so really thinking about the experience that you want them to have, the best experience, even the very first time they walk through those doors. Do what you think is the best in class for that patient, and do that first time every time.
Well, listen, Dr. Liska, it has been a real, real fun experience talking to you today. I think our listeners have gained a lot of insight into managing chronic dermatitis and helping dispel some of the common misperceptions. Where can they learn more? I mean, I know you got to give me a website or something.
Oh, of course. At Zoetis. If you guys, of course, it's easy to Google zoetis.com, Zoetis.
And if you're really interested, you can go to the scienceofstrongerbonds.com. I think that Zoetis has done a fantastic job with that website. And of course, they go into some deep dives around little tools and tips around chronic dermatitis.
And I think this is a great area for support staff that are interested in dermatitis and dermatological conditions and taking a more proactive role. Thank you guys so much for putting those tools out there to help support staff who maybe work with a clinician who isn't that interested in dermatology and they don't have that mentorship.
And if your local rep is anything like mine, you can always reach out to them too. They're a great resource. And if they don't know the answer, they can connect you to awesome folks like Dr. Liska.
That's right. And we will include all those links in the show notes below. Again, Dr. Dana Liska, board certified veterinary dermatologist, courtesy of Zoetis. Thank you again so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, you've heard what we have to say. Now we want to hear what you have to say. How do you deal with chronic dermatitis? Do you see dermatological drama in your clinic? And what about Cindy's derm burnout?
Yes, we would love to hear more about what you're seeing. You can connect with us on Facebook at Veterinary Viewfinder. And if, like Becky or Dr. Liska, you have your own atopic pet at home, you can send us pictures on Instagram, hopefully pictures of them feeling great and healthy with happy, healthy skin. And again, on Instagram, we're also Veterinary Viewfinder. Also love hearing your reviews, knowing what you guys like about the podcast and our conversations helps us continue to create content that you really enjoy. And it helps us get to know you. We love our listeners. And so getting to know you guys helps us love doing this podcast even more. So leave us a review on the iTunes store.
And don't forget to click to subscribe so you don't miss one great episode of the Veterinary Viewfinder.
And I'd like to thank once again our sponsor for this podcast, Zoetis, who are the makers of treatments including Apoquil and Cytopoint. Do not use Apoquil in dogs less than 12 months of age or those with serious infections. Apoquil may increase the chances of developing serious infections and may cause existing parasitic skin infestations or pre-existing cancers to get worse. Zoetis is dedicated to changing the way we approach canine pruritus to protect the bonds that matter most. Visit scienceofstrongerbonds.com for more. And again, we'll have show notes. We'll have links to the information or whatever. Thanks again for listening. And listen, if you don't know about Apoquil, I encourage you, find out. It is amazing. Thanks again. Till next time. Bye.
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 Goodbye.
Product information for Apoquil is available at www.apoquildogs.com/apoquil_pi.pdf. Thank you, Zoetis.